I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to all of you, on behalf of the session, I would like to greet all of you a very blessed Christmas in advance, because Christmas will not actually be here until another 5 days, right? Now, and also a very, very special welcome to all our friends and those who have not seen, whom we have not seen for some time. So good to see all of you back here to worship with us. May the Lord grant all of you a very, very special blessing today. And we will be very happy today if you would stay back and fellowship with us over fellowship lunch. Yes, we would really like to catch up with you. And also our friends who have not been here before, we are so very happy to have you come here this morning. Do join us at the lunch after the worship service. Now, the topic this morning is light shining through darkness, light shining through darkness. And I speak from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 18. When Christ was born, among the first witnesses were the Jewish shepherds who were watching over their sheep, their flocks by night, in the fields of Bethlehem. And an angel appeared to them, and the angel made this announcement to them concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read this in Luke chapter 2, if you turn to Luke chapter 2 and the verses 9 to 14. I read this passage again once again to you. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. All right, I start with verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. It was night time. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. In other words, they were very, very afraid, terrified. Verse 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. How fitting it was that this announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ should be made at night, and not during the day. Now, if it was made during the day, the significance of the event might not be very clear. Now, of course, it is very true, the glory of the Lord, as spoken of in verse 9, and the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The glory of the Lord would, of course, be very, very great. And the glory of the Son, by comparison, would be nothing. But friends, this announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was made at night. And the contrast between the brightness of the glory of the Lord and the darkness of the night must have been so very, very great that the darkness of the night would surely have appeared to be very, very much darker. Sometimes, I'm sure we have this experience of walking outside of our house, and then we look back into the house, and one of the room lights is switched on, and the room looks very, very bright, although the lamp in the room maybe has only something like 30, 40 watts. But the room will still look very, very bright. You'll be able to see practically everything in the room from the darkness outside your home. And then the darkness that is outside of your home would appear to be very, very dark, in contrast to the brightness in the room. So you see how fitting it was that the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was made at night. It clearly showed how dark the darkness of night was. And indeed, the world was in darkness. The world was in the darkness of hopelessness, and the world was in the darkness of sin. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came at Christmas time to save us out of the darkness of hopelessness. Now, this hopelessness, we're talking about hopelessness now, the darkness of hopelessness. Now, this darkness of hopelessness was very, very keenly felt by the Jews in particular. You see, the Jews were a very special people. God chose them to be his people, And it is to these people that God made his, gave his revelations. And he sent prophets after prophets to communicate with them the truth of God, the messages of God. And one of the most important messages that was communicated to the Jews was that in Abraham, the ancestor of the Jews, would all the nations of the earth be blessed. Yes, and the Jews knew that from Holy Scripture, God was going to send the Messiah of the Jews. And he was not only going to be the Savior of the Jews, but he was also going to be the Savior of all the nations of the earth. Yes. But friends, the last prophet that spoke to the Jews up to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ was this prophet Malachi. And Malachi, if you look into the Holy Scripture, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And this was the last prophet in the Old Testament that God spoke to. And then for 400 years, it was complete silence from the time of Malachi to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how hopeless the Jews would have felt, because before that time, God would be speaking to them. He would send prophets after prophets and after prophets to speak to them. But now it was complete silence. And the Jewish nation was not even a nation at all at that time. Yes, not a nation at all. And they were in fact second-class citizens. They were the Jews occupied a place that was colonized by the Romans. Yes, they were regarded as second-class citizens in the Roman Empire. And surely the Jews must have felt very, very keenly the darkness of hopelessness. Now, how dark was this hopelessness? It was really very, very dark indeed. And my favorite way of illustrating how dark the darkness of hopelessness can be is to ask you to imagine, all right, to imagine for a moment that you were trapped under a landslide. Think of it, trapped under a landslide, covered over with mud and debris and so forth, and you are lying on the ground in total darkness. And then you manage to make your last phone call. Then the phone went dead. The last phone call to contact the outside world. And then your phone went dead because there is no more battery in the phone. And that is your last contact with the outside world. And then you lost contact with the outside world and you lose track of time. One day seems to have passed and another day seems to have passed. And you, as the days pass, you feel more and more hopeless. And the darkness, you know, underneath the rubber is already dark. But as you lose hope, what happens to the darkness? The darkness becomes even darker as you lose hope. That is true, my dear friends. If you lose hope, the darkness of hopelessness really becomes darker and darker. And as you lie there, all of a sudden, you hear voices, human voices, and you hear dogs barking and say, ah, help might be coming. They are search dogs. And suddenly what happens? You are filled with hope. The noises become louder and louder, and you can hear your rescuers shouting out your name. And you try to crowd, you try to respond and say, I'm here, I'm here. You try to say that, but then you are just too weak to shout loud enough for people to hear. Yes. And then in any case, you were buried under the rubble. But friends, as the noises become louder and louder and the barkings of the dogs become louder and louder, what happens to your hope? Your hope rises. Yes, the hopelessness of darkness is more and more being lifted out from you. You know why? Because you know that very, very soon you are going to be rescued. Very soon you are going to see daylight. Isn't it true? Indeed. The darkness of hopelessness is really very, very dark. If you have no hope at all, the darkness is really very, very dark. And the Jews were actually living in this kind of darkness. Yes? How dark that darkness was. And then suddenly came this wonderful announcement. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. These announcements were made to these Jewish shepherds. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, upon these Jewish shepherds. Remember, they were Jews, Jewish shepherds. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, not only to the Jews, but to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The Messiah is born. What hope this Messiah will bring to the believing Jews. Surely this Messiah will be bringing great hope to the believing Jews. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ was 40 days old, a little baby, 40 days old, when his mother Mary was to subject herself to the Jewish ceremony of purification, baby Jesus and his mother Mary and his earthly father went to the city of Jerusalem, and they came into the temple of Jerusalem for the cleansing ceremony to be conducted. And then there appeared this man, a devout Jew, by the name of Simeon. Simeon rejoiced when he saw this baby, because his hope of seeing the Messiah was fulfilled. For a long, long time, he was looking forward to the coming of this Messiah. And now, he saw the Messiah. And he held baby Jesus in his arms. Yes, and we read, yes, this in account in Luke chapter 2, verse 27 to verse 32. And he came, and he, meaning Simeon, came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and blessed God, and said, Now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, not just the Jews, but before all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Yes, it was a light not only for the Jews, but a light also for the Gentiles. Surely, my dear friends, the darkness of hopelessness of this man Simeon must have been completely lifted up when he saw this baby, baby Jesus, the Messiah. At long last, after 400 years, light has come. Yes, it has shone through darkness. God did not forsake his people, the Jews. He came to save them. And he would be saving the Gentiles too. It is very clear. The words here says it. He will be a blessing to all people, not just to the Jews. He is Christ the Savior. And indeed, those who trust that the Lord Jesus came and died for them, yes, they will have everlasting life, whether they be Jews or whether they be Gentiles. And this is God's wonderful promise. He's given us this wonderful promise, not only to Jews, but also to Gentiles. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now those of us who have trusted in him are saved from the darkness of hopelessness. If there were no Christmas, think about it, my dear friends, if there were no Christmas, then there would not have been baby Jesus, right? Jesus would not have been born, no Christmas. If there were no Christmas, what does it mean? If there were no Christmas, what it would mean is there would have been no Calvary. Christ would not have died on the cross of Calvary. Now, if there was no death of Christ on the cross of Calvary, Christ would not have been buried. If Christ was not buried, then Christ would not have been raised up from the dead. There would be no resurrection. Now, if there were no resurrection, then there would be no resurrection of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you realize that? So no Christmas means no resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there is no resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be no resurrection of believers from the dead. So friends, if there is no resurrection, what hope do you have? What hope do I have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Zero. No hope. Yes. We will be living in the darkness of hopelessness. And we who profess to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in his resurrection would be of all men most miserable, as the Apostle Paul says. But friends, thank God there was this event, the resurrection. And so we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. I read for you this verse. But now is Christ risen from the dead. See, that's the resurrection. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Yes, he rose up from the dead and he has become the first fruit of them that slept. The first fruit of those who died in him. Now, he's the first fruits, and we who are believers are the fruits that follow. And I'm sure you understand this. If you see a mango fruit coming forth from a mango tree, you know that soon there will be other mango fruits. The other mango fruits will follow. Yes, so Jesus is the first fruit. He rose up from the dead, the first of all, the first fruit. And we who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are the fruits that follow. Yes. And when would the dead rise up from the dead? When would the dead rise up from the grave? When? The dead will rise up from the grave when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns. Yes, and the hope of this return of the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as the blessed hope. You see, no longer living in darkness of hopelessness, because you and I who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have this hope called the blessed hope. And so the book of Titus tells us a little something about this blessed hope. Titus 2, 13 and 14. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. My dear friends, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this blessed hope to look forward to. One day, my dear friends, this blessed hope will be realized. It will be. The dead in Christ will rise first. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died in him, when the Lord appears in the clouds, they will rise first. And then those who are living at that time, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ living at that time, will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. We would follow. Yes, what a wonderful day that will be when we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Now my question for all of us here is this. Has the darkness of hopelessness been lifted up from you? Has the darkness of hopelessness been lifted up from you? Now, if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that darkness should have been lifted up from you already. You think of that man who was trapped under the landslide. Yes, and when he heard the voices of the rescuers and the barkings of the dog becoming louder and louder and louder, he was still in darkness. But as we said, his hope would have been raised. As it were, the darkness of hopelessness was slowly but surely being lifted off from him. My dear friends, as true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, this darkness of hopelessness must have been lifted off from us, because we have this blessed hope of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And as true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, every day you and I should be rejoicing. Why should we be rejoicing, my dear friends? We should be rejoicing because the darkness of hopelessness has been lifted off from us. We have this blessed hope to look forward to, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our being resurrected from the dead, or when we are alive at that time when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we will be caught up to be with him in the air. The hymn writer, Fanny Crosby, wrote more than 6,000 hymns. Did you know that? Fanny Crosby. Did you hear of the name Fanny Crosby? Many of our hymns in our hymn book were written by her. Fanny Crosby. Now, Fanny Crosby became blind when she was 6 weeks old, a baby. She was blind as of that time, but she was never bitter about it. One day, a preacher said to her, "It is a great pity the master did not give you sight, as he has showered you with very great gifts." She was very, very gifted. And so this preacher said, It's a pity the master did not give you sight as he has showered you with very great gifts. Now upon hearing that, Fanny Crosby said, if at birth I'm given the chance to make one petition, it will be that I should be born blind. That was what she said. Then the preacher said, but why? And you know what was her reply? She said, because when I get to heaven, the first face that will gladden my sight will be the face of my Lord Jesus Christ. You see? So she said that would be her petition if she was given one choice and if she was born blind. You see, for her, the darkness of hopelessness had been lifted as of the day she came to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. This blind servant of the Lord lived with this blessed hope of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face someday. And with this hope residing in her, having this hope, she wrote so many hymns, 6,000 of them, to encourage thousands and thousands of people in the last few centuries. Yes, many surely have been lifted in the spirit, given hope through the hymns of this blind lady. Now friends, let the hope that we have in Jesus, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, lift us up and strengthen us. And let this hope that we have in us enable us to encourage other people, to cheer other people up, to lift them up, and also to give them the hope of this, the hope that, that let them know of the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as hopeful people from the whom the darkness of hopelessness has been lifted, we must purify ourselves, as the Word of God says. The Word of God says that we must be purified. It is for this very purpose that the Lord has saved us, that we be pure. We be a very, very special people to Him. And so we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, and every man that has this hope, we are talking about the blessed hope of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, every man that has this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as Jesus is pure. As hopeful people, we must show that we have this hope. And how do we show that we have this hope? We show that we have this hope by letting the world know that we are different. We have been purified by the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, our lifestyle, our behavior must show that we are indeed pure in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be blameless in Him. Now the world is in need of this hope, friends, this blessed hope that we have. Without this hope, you know what's the truth? Without this hope, whether they like it or not, they may say, no, it's not true. Whether they like it or not, my dear friends, without this hope, they are heading for eternal hell. Yes, where they will have to face the eternal wrath of God for all eternity. We must show them that we have this hope, the blessed hope. That is why we are living the way we are living, in the hope that upon their seeing us having this hope, they will want to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And as hopeful people, you and I are supposed to be hopeful people because we have this blessed hope from whom this darkness of hopelessness has been lifted. As hopeful people, we must be ever ready to share our hope with people, with other people. You look at how the shepherds behave. I'd like us to look at verse 15. Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. Let me read for you. Verse 15 and to verse 17. 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, after they heard this announcement from the angel, they said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 17. And when they had seen it, when they had seen the baby, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What did they do, my dear friends? They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They, my dear friends, became hopeful people right away when they saw this baby, the Messiah of the Jews. And did they keep that hope to themselves? No, my dear friends, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They shared the hope that they were given. They were hopeful people, and they shared their hope. You and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, must do the same thing. We profess to have this hope. All right, we have this hope. What do we do with this hope? Let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's share this hope, as the shepherds did. Now next, Christ was born to deliver us from the darkness of sin. First, he was born to deliver us from the darkness of hopelessness. Yes, next he delivers us from the darkness of sin. The world is operating in the darkness of sin. Sin is the breaking of God's laws. Now, we not only break God's laws, we actually are rebelling against the one true living God. How, my dear friends, we exhibit our refusal to obey Him, we exhibit our rebellion against Him, by what? By refusing to worship Him, of course, to worship Him as God. Now, man prefers to worship other things. They do not want to worship God. And so what does he do? He sets up idols to worship. He worships money, he worships power, and he worships a god which he invents in his mind. And one of the gods that he invents in his mind is this god known as no god. No god. And that's the god that the atheist worships. Yes, they say that there is no god, but in actual fact, they are worshiping this god called no god. Now, people like to think that there is no god. Or there are many people who like to think that there is no God. Why? Because if there is no God, then they do not have to give an account to this God after they are passed away from this earth, no matter how wicked they had been while they were living on this earth. Now, this kind of thinking, what happens when people have this kind of thinking? This kind of thinking gives rise to lawlessness. People would not be bothered about the judgment of God, because as far as they are concerned, the judgment of God does not exist, because God does not exist, so there won't be any judgment of God. They are not concerned about eternity. No. They think that human beings are just made up of chemicals, that's all. And when they pass away, they simply turn into dust, and the chemicals in them, if they have not gone through chemical changes, will then just be recycled in nature. That's all. That's how they think of themselves. Now, what with this kind of thinking, is it any wonder that we see so much violence in the world today? Not surprising at all. Is it any wonder that we see so much immorality in the world today? Is it any wonder that we see so much drug trafficking and drug addiction today? Is it any wonder that one in two marriages breaks down? No wonder at all. Is it any wonder that we see homosexuality, same-sex marriage, adultery, fornication, and other sinful lifestyles being regarded as acceptable today? No wonder. No wonder, friends. No wonder, because they think that there is no God. They will not have to face any kind of judgment. And by nature, men love to live in the darkness of sin. And that is the truth. Yes? And so we see the darkness of sin around us. But you know something? This darkness of sin is not only around us. The truth is, this darkness of sin is actually residing in us. It is in us, the darkness of sin. And so we read these words given to us by the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 17:9. He says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said about the heart? He says this in Mark 7:21-23. "For from within, inside us, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man." Friends, let's understand this truth. It is because of this darkness of the heart, the darkness of sin in the heart, that this world is living in the darkness of sin. Yes, it is the darkness within us that is being poured out into the world that causes the world to be living in the darkness of sin. And friends, there is no way that any person is able to get rid of this darkness of sin from him. Absolutely no way. By himself, there's no way that he's able to do it. He's born with this darkness of sin in his heart. And he is absolutely under the control of his master. This master called sin. Now, the greatest problem with this master called sin is that sin pays wages. Like any master, it pays wages. And you are, if you are the slaves of sin, you are paid wages. And what are the wages of sin? The word of God says, the wages of sin is death. That's the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this death that is paid by sin is not just physical death, but it is spiritual death as well. It is separation from the one true living God. And that's what death is, separation from the one true living God. Now, if you are separated from the one true living God, you really do not have any spiritual life at all. You are dead, dead in sin, dead in trespasses and sin. And when you pass away from this earth without repenting, with this darkness of sin in your heart, my dear friends, you remain separated from the one true living God. No life in you, separated from the one true living God. And if you are separated from the one true living God, and you die unrepentant, you continue to be separated from the one true living God for all eternity. And where will you end up, my dear friends? You end up in hell. You don't like to hear of this place, hell. But it is true. The word of God says there's a place called hell and there's a place called the lake of fire. You end up being there. And you'll be tormented day and night for all eternity. My dear friends, at this Christmas, I'd like to urge you to repent. Yes, if there is still this darkness of sin in you and not taken away by the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you to repent. Come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He came for this very purpose, my dear friends, to save you and to save me from the darkness of sin. You see, Jesus was made sin for us. He knew no sin, but he was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, he came as to be made a sin offering for us. God presented him to himself, Jesus, as our sin offering. That's what it means. And what it means also is this. Jesus took our sins and put it into his account. And then he took his righteousness and he put it into our account. That's what it means. My dear friends, he was made sin for us who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And friends, if we trust in him, we call up to him to save us, he will save us. And he will save us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Something that the place where we like to be. Into his marvelous light, out of the darkness of sin. And so we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are part of this generation. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is exactly what has happened to you. You have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, my dear friends, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, living in the marvelous light, what must we be doing? My dear friends, we must be showing forth the praises of God. That's what the word of God says in Peter. Show forth the praises of God. Now, what does that mean? Now, to show forth the praises of God means to show forth the attributes of God, the perfections of God. We are to be the lights of the world. You see, people are not able to see Jesus Christ. Of course, today they can't see him. But they can see us, who are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the lights of the world. We are supposed to represent him. We are to show forth the praises of the one true living God. We are to tell the world how good, how kind, how gracious our God is. We are to tell the world how powerful our God is, how faithful he is, how merciful he is, how loving he is. How can the world know about the love and the kindness and the goodness of God, the power of God, except through whom? through you and me, who are two believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, living in that marvelous light. Now, my next point is, Christ was born to deliver us from the rule of the ruler of darkness of this world. So first, he came to save us from the darkness of hopelessness. Number two, the darkness of sin. Number three, he came to save us from the rule of the ruler of darkness of this world. Now, God's word tells us about the rule of the rulers of the darkness of this world. Ephesians chapter 2, I'd like us to turn to these two verses. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. Alright, I'd like us to focus our attention on this ruler of darkness. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2, I read for you. And you has he quickened. In other words, you, believers, has he quickened. He has made you alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. My dear friends, that's the ruler of darkness, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, I'd like us to look at another verse. You keep your finger at Philippians, Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, and then you turn to Ephesians 6, and look at verse 12. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Okay, I read for you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. My dear friends, understand this truth. Believers are walking according to the course of this world. Unbelievers are walking according to the course of this world. Unbelievers are governed, they are controlled by the world. And what is the world here? The world here refers to the attitude, the mentality of the world. Yes, unbelievers are being controlled by the attitude, the mentality of the world, which are totally opposed to the one true living God. And the world is governed by whom? The world is governed by the prince of the power of the air that we read of earlier on. Yes, the world is governed by the ruler of the darkness of this world. Yes, the world is governed, ruled by the prince of this world, governed by the ruler of the darkness of this world. It is this ruler of the darkness of this world that gives this spirit. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, you go back a few pages, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, the last part, you will read about this spirit. It is this prince of the power of the air, the ruler of darkness, that gives the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, this spirit here does not refer to a demon. No, it does not. But rather, it refers to a principle, an evil principle. This darkness, the ruler of the darkness of this world, gives this evil principle, puts this evil principle into the hearts of the children of disobedience. Now, the children here does not refer to little kids. The children here refers to those who are subject to the disobedience to the one true living God. In other words, they are people who are under the control of the evil one. Yes, these are the children of disobedience, and they are opposed to the one true living God. So Satan is the one who operates this evil principle in the hearts of men. That is why evil, so much evil is generated every day in this world. He operates this evil principle in the hearts of men. How can terrorist attacks be seen as good and heroic when they kill so many people, and yet the perpetrators of this terrorists say this, they're killing for a good cause. Yes, they're killing for a good cause. That's what they say. And how can people be so covetous as to make millions of dollars by producing drugs that destroy millions of people? And how can people think of going to war to kill thousands and thousands of people? Yes, how can people think that they are doing that, and they are doing that for good? And how can people practice homosexuality and think that it is a legitimate lifestyle? And how can people practice premarital sex and accept it as something that is moral and something that is cultural? And how can people think that to practice abortion and to kill babies is something that is legitimate and that they are doing good for the good of society? How can people think that way? Yet all this can happen and be thought of as legitimate and good. Because why? Because this evil principle is working in the hearts of men. And this evil principle, as we said, is operated by the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of darkness. The whole world is governed by the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of darkness. Christ came for this purpose, to deliver us from the ruler of darkness. He took on human flesh. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfectly sinless life. Then at the age of 33, he went to the cross of Calvary. There on the cross of Calvary, he bore the punishment that was supposed to come upon us on himself. Yes, he died in our place. And the most wonderful thing that happened on the cross of Calvary is recorded for us in Hebrews 2:14. I read this verse for you. You listen carefully. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, Jesus partook of flesh and blood. He became a human being. God became man at Christmas. You understand? That through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That through his death, as a human being, he might destroy him that had the power of death. Even Satan, the prince of the power of the air. Christ, by his death, destroyed him that had the power of death. It is not that he had destroyed the being of Satan. No. But rather, he destroyed the power and the authority of Satan over believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that today, Satan does not have this power over us. If we choose not to have him to have this power over us. You understand, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, he has destroyed his power and authority over us. Now, do we not see people who behave like the devil himself, and then they were delivered? They got drunk, they beat up their wives, they beat up their children, they terrorized their children, then they heard the gospel of truth. Jesus came and died for them. Jesus came to destroy destroy Satan, the one who had the power of death. And he offered deliverance to people from their sins. They heard this gospel message and they responded. They said, I want to be delivered from this power of the evil one. And so instead of being wife beaters and being children beaters, they were transformed. They became wife lovers and children lovers. And then surely we must have heard of womanizers, drug addicts, or thieves and robbers who became saints, all delivered from the rulers of the darkness of this world by the power of the gospel. Friends, some of us here might be under the control of the rulers of darkness. We want to be delivered from our sins. Your desire to be delivered can be made true at this Christmas, my dear friends. What is needed for you to do is to come and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Come and believe in him. Repent from your sins. You say, Lord, please take this evil principle away from my heart. Please take this darkness of sin from my heart. Please take away the darkness of hopelessness from my heart. I want to be your child. And deliver me from the rule of the darkness of this world. My dear friends, if you mean it, and you come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, he will deliver you from your sins. For sure. Yes, he says so. And he's the one true living God. He cannot lie. Thank God for Christmas, friends. Our Savior came at Christmas. He was born to deliver us, first of all, from the darkness of hopelessness. If we don't have Christ, my dear friends, we don't have hope beyond this life. What hope do you have, my dear friends, I ask you, of life beyond life on this earth? What hope do you have? Can you look forward to the day of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face? Can you look forward to that? My dear friends, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart today, the Savior who came to be born at Christmas 2,000 years ago. If you have him in your heart today, you will be given this wonderful hope of seeing him face to face someday. And our Savior came to deliver us from the darkness of sin. And as we said, the most fearful thing about this darkness of sin is that this darkness of sin resides in our heart. It is in our heart, friends, and we can't remove this darkness of sin by ourselves. The only way for this darkness of sin to be removed is to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to remove it by his precious blood that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. My dear friends, if you trust in him, he will save you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then finally, he came to deliver us from the rule of the ruler of darkness of this world. Have you been delivered from this ruler? Now, I'm going to tell you something very serious, friends. If you have not been delivered from the rule of the rule of the ruler of the darkness of this world, this is your true condition. I read for you the words of Jesus Christ. He said this to the unbelieving Jews. He said this to them in John chapter 8, 44. He said this, "You are of your father, the devil." Heard that? "You are of the father of your father, the devil, and the last of your father, evil do." My dear friends, that's your true condition. If you do not have Jesus in your heart, if you have not been delivered from the rule of the darkness of this rule of the ruler of the darkness of this world yet, yes, you are of your father, the devil. In other words, the devil is your father. That's serious, my dear friends. But friends, if you were to come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior today, you'll be delivered from this rule of the ruler of the darkness of this world. And straight away, you become a child of God. You belong to him. And you have this wonderful hope. Yes, the hope of seeing him face to face. You will have been delivered from the darkness of hopelessness, and for sure, you will be delivered from the darkness of sin. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your goodness and kindness towards us. Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came 2,000 years ago for the purpose of delivering us from the darkness of hopelessness and from the darkness of sin and from the rule of the darkness of the ruler of this world. Father, we pray for those in our midst who might not have known you as Lord and Savior yet. We pray that you will be very gracious to them, that you will speak to their hearts and cause them, O Lord, this morning to come to believe in you and to be delivered from all these evils that we have spoken about and become your children. Lord, we pray that you will be very gracious to your people, and we pray that today may be a very glad day for those who are still outside your kingdom. We pray that it may be a day in which they find salvation in you. And Father, we thank you for this time of worship. Do continue to be with us after the worship service as we fellowship one with another. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.